Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff. With me is Jesse, and we are going to recap the Monday Night Football game that happened last night between the Buccaneers and the Steelers. What were your thoughts on it first, Jesse?
The game itself, Steelers weren't great. Well, first half, they were great. The Bucs, Fitzpatrick pretty much turned into what I thought he was, 3 interceptions. I think we've all seen this before. Didn't really play well. I mean, he did put up stats, but again, I don't think you could really value garbage time stats in the second half.
Would you say that the Buccaneers have lost their momentum?
I mean, I don't know, because you know what, Fitzpatrick, he's not, I think we all know that he wasn't going to stick around for the rest of the season. I'm not sure really. Right. Like, yeah, they had momentum. I'd say no, they haven't lost it. But, I mean, a season with Ryan Fitzpatrick starting all 16 games is a lost cause, no matter how you put it, for me at least.
Yeah. Well, I can safely say he's doing better than I would ever have done, coming from a guy who does not in that position and all that kind of thing. But I would definitely say that this is a wake-up call for the Steelers as well as the Buccaneers. I would say this wake-up call is, okay, we got this win. We got over this 3-week slump we've been on. Let's get back on the grind and let's get back into a playoff play that we always know we can be. As the Buccaneers, it's like, so we got to prove that this 3 weeks wasn't a fluke and that we are that good and we can get in the playoffs and we can be a Super Bowl contender. So I think both these teams have a lot to prove in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the Bucs. Yeah, they do have a good team. I'd say minus Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I might come off as a Ryan Fitzpatrick hater. And if I'm labeled as that, that's fine.
I think it's this Ryan Fitzpatrick realist.
Yeah, I mean, sure, the first two games were great. Yes, he's broken the NFL record for 3 games in a row with 400 passing yards or whatever. That's fine. That's great. That's dandy. We all know he's going to come back down to earth at some point. It's inevitable. It's happened literally every single season he's been in the league, every time he's played. Okay, let's not forget, this was also the guy who threw 6 interceptions in one game with the Jets. That quarterback is here. And one thing I've learned over the year is that whatever a quarterback has done, or player, I should say, a player has done over his NFL career for the most part, that is who the player will be for the rest of his career. You can't really expect a guy in year 12, whatever Fitzpatrick is in, to suddenly improve or be this great guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the guy that we've saw over his career, is who he is now. A few games isn't going to change that, I'd say.
True, I agree with you on that. Not two games or 3 games for that matter, because he threw over 400 again, doesn't get that passed off your back. It doesn't give that weight that you've been struggling your whole career off.
Yeah, like, and I mean,
it changes nothing.
Yeah, the guy's a solid backup quarterback.
If he wins the MVP and wins a Super Bowl, I don't think even that would take away a bunch of his past.
Well, I mean, that'd be a complete...
I'm just using that as the biggest of examples, most ridiculous scenario. But then you got to think, okay, he's had one... Like, his game had one. You can consider him as maybe a long shot for the offensive player of the year in the NFC last year type of thing.
Well, I mean, you look at it, I think Fitzpatrick, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback, he's just not starting quarterback material. The dude, if he was a backup, would be one of the best backups in the league.
Well, that's kind of what he's doing. He's technically replacing the starting quarterback. He is replacing the starting quarterback at the moment, so he is doing the backup's job.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's all just a huge waste of time here.
Do you think as soon as Winston's ready to go, they'll just move on?
I'd say give him a week. Granted, you want Jameis Winston, I mean, missing three games coming into his first game with the Chicago Bears defense. I mean, that defense has been absolutely disgusting. You look at what Stevie Wilkes, the Arizona Cardinals head coach, did. I mean, throwing Josh Rosen in with 2 minutes left in the game to make his debut against that Bears defense. I mean, you're setting him up to fail at that point. And I think that's what you'd be doing with Jameis Winston.
So you think you're setting him up for failure if you go with him again? Go with Winston
at least for week four. I'd say give him a week to get back with the team, practice and all that. Because, again, he has been away from the team. He hasn't been able to talk football with the team for that matter. So that's obviously in terms of his suspension. So
maybe he shouldn't do stuff illegal.
Yeah, so I'd say, well, that's besides the point. But I'd say for the week, you get him back with the team, talking with his receivers and all that, and then week five, I'd say, is when you bring Winston
back. Like rebuild the chemistry?
Well, pretty much, and like, yeah, pretty much. You just get integrated in again and all that. Because like I said, it's just a waste of time with Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick isn't the long-term answer, and we're not even sure that Jameis Winston is the long-term answer, but you need to figure that out sooner rather than later.
Is it too soon to call Winston a bust?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he's only in year four currently.
Feels like he's been in the league for a while. Yeah. I guess 4 years is a while, but hasn't made the playoffs in those 4 years. Has he played a full 16-game season?
I'd have to double-check that, but I mean,
I don't think so.
His first 2 years, he didn't really have anything to work with. Last year was the first year he had where he actually had decent talent around him, and even then, I mean, they had the hurricane in Florida that happened, so they had to take their bye week one. Then you play 16 straight games, and he has to deal with a shoulder injury. I mean,
so you think he's kind of like, he was given a very bad hand going in? Well, I guess if you're the first overall pick, you're always given a bad hand.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, last year's when he had an opportunity, but, I mean, they weren't really set up to succeed given all the outside circumstances that took place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the guy's a knucklehead and all that, but as far as his football ability, he has all the tools to eventually become a top 10 quarterback. He's not that yet. He's got to develop into that, but he does have the tools, I'd say.
I honestly got a bad taste in my mouth when I first saw him play that Rose Bowl against Oregon, where he just completely collapsed. I thought that would have cost him the first overall pick.
I mean, I don't think you can use one game against the guy. You look at a body of work over his couple years there. I mean, the guy did win a national championship, too. I think they went undefeated that season and beat Auburn in that national championship, if I'm not mistaken.
They did.
Yeah.
That was the last second play, I believe, that took him to the championship.
Yeah, and I mean, you're looking at his first 2 years. I'm looking at his stats on Pro Football Reference. He made the Pro Bowl his rookie year. They went 6-10, threw for over 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 15 picks, 58% completion percentage. The next year, he improved. They went 9-7 that year, nearly 4,100 yards, 28 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. And then that past year, which was last year, I mean, they had the hurricane, played 16 games in a row, and he had his shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm. So there is a lot to go on from his career in Tampa Bay. So we can't say he's a bust yet. I think that's what we're going to agree on there. And it's a wait and see. Except it's the same thing with Marcus Mariota, the pick right after him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say definitely is, like, Mariota did not take that team to the playoffs. Like, he didn't lead that team to the playoffs. I think we can agree on that. I think they
limped in there, I'd say.
Huh?
They kind of just limped in there, kind of just barely got
crawled,
in.
Hung on by the skin of their teeth. And in that game against Kansas City, you can call luck.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if Andy Reid,
that was the biggest collapse, one of the biggest collapses in playoff history.
That's just Andy Reid being Andy Reid at that point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also, I would say, okay, we should go move to the Steelers. Do you think they can make the playoffs without Bell?
Yeah, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger has been there, done it all before. Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, he hasn't had Le'Veon Bell his entire career, so he knows what it takes to get out of there. Let's not forget that they also do have, at least in my opinion, the best wide receiver in the league. My only concern really with the Steelers isn't Le'Veon Bell, although that, I mean, I feel like we can kind of move on from Bell as far as, I think we can both agree he probably won't be playing for the Steelers this season. If he does play the season, it will be for a different team.
It's yeah, definitely. The only reason I see him playing is if he's traded or
if they don't trade him, then obviously I think he'll be back. But I just don't.
But I don't think he'll start. I think he'll refuse to play.
I don't think he'd do that. Because well, that, I think that's
a possibility. Or they'll bench him.
If you're the Steelers, though, can you really bench a guy with that talent? Does that really make sense, given, I mean, you're playing for something much bigger?
Sorry, it's literally, I yawned. Excuse me. But, yes, I think it's one of those things where, is the player good enough for the character to be that toxic?
I mean, the NFL's, like, shown year after year that, I mean, if you're a good football player, they'll just keep you bringing you back.
Yeah, but...
And Le'Veon Bell hasn't necessarily done anything too wrong. I mean, the guy just is thinking of himself, which I have no problem with. He's just thinking long term.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they're kind of lowballing him on contracts uh-huh. as of late. So I definitely think he should be paid because he is probably the number one or number two running back in the league at the moment. If anyone's close to him, I think it would be Todd Gurley. Or do you have anyone else that could probably be up there?
My top three, I'd say. I mean, David Johnson's been pretty bad this year, so I'll throw him out of there. But I'd say Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott, and Todd Gurley are the three best
you
running backs.
You put Zeke Elliott in the top three?
Huh?
You put Zeke Elliott in the top three?
Yeah.
He hasn't been playing that good. He had that one great season when they went 13-3, and yeah, he had that big suspension problem last year. But
and even then, I mean, he still ran for, I think, 1,000 yards or nearly there after missing six games.
Okay. And we'll see how the season progresses because that Dallas team is struggling.
Yeah, and you can't really get nothing going when they're stacking the box and your quarterback isn't really doing well. I mean, my biggest problem with the Steelers is their defense. I mean, no one's really talking about that. And it's kind of with the Chiefs, too. Both of their defense has been pretty terrible, and I think that's the Achilles heel of this team. It is the defense. And I think if they don't make the playoffs, that will be why.
Do you mean Dallas? Or do you mean Kansas City?
I'm talking about Pittsburgh here now.
Oh, you're talking about Pittsburgh? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. They let Fitzpatrick. Yeah, Fitzpatrick did throw three interceptions, but he did also pass for 400 yards.
Yeah.
He did make a comeback in the second half. And it almost was successful.
And those interceptions were pretty much gifts to the Steelers' secondary and all that. I mean, they weren't necessarily anything where the guy was jumping the route. They were just terrible throws.
Yeah, they weren't close.
Yeah.
They were pretty sloppy. They were pretty Fitz-tragic, I guess people are been saying. So, I guess the saying with Fitzpatrick is you go Fitz and then say whatever you like.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with the Steelers' offense. It's more so their defense. But, I mean, that's pretty much what I have on the Steelers. As far as the Bucks, I mean, like I said, it's inevitable when Fitzpatrick has that game. So, I'd say...
Do you see the Bucks making the playoffs?
It's too early to tell, I'd say. They're kind of like with Miami. It's like a wait-and-see type of thing.
All right. I'll say they could squeeze in a wild card spot.
I mean, they'd have to get past Green Bay and all those other teams to get
in there.
I think
Green Bay's taking the division still.
Oh, then do you have Minnesota?
Oh, right. Minnesota and Chicago.
Minnesota, Chicago, you got...
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Never mind. The Buccaneers aren't making the playoffs. This NFC is too deep at the moment. That NFC North is going to make problems for a lot of wild card players. Wild card teams, excuse me.
It's a possibility, but like I said, I think we just got to wait and see who's a pretender, who's a contender, and all that.
Yeah. And then, absolutely, it's only week three. We got 14 more weeks to go.
13 more games, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we got week 17. Yeah. People forget that it's week 17 because of the bye week.
Yeah.
They think of 16 games. But we do have a long ways to go before we can even think about playoffs and who's going to get it. But we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about just teams that have disappointed right now. It was late. I know we said it was early, but we should still talk about the teams that have started off sloppy and teams that have started off hot. And we'll get on right on that when we get back.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We just talked about the Monday Night Football matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now we're going to go on to talk about disappointing teams as of the first 3 weeks of the season. Who's your number one most disappointing team?
I'm not going to say the Bills because I expected this.
I think a lot of people expected this.
The Raiders, can we really... I think they had, like, the fans had expectations, but can we really say they've been disappointing, or is this maybe who they really are?
That's a tough, tough thing to go with. Because they signed them to a 10-year deal. Mm-hmm. I think they assumed it wasn't going to work out the next first couple of years, so they gave them time to build a team.
Yeah, because you heard Gruden in some of these early season, like right before the season, press conferences and all. The guy was kind of hinting at the fact, okay, we don't have enough talent here to win. And this is more
a he made that pretty clear.
Yeah, this is more a work in progress type of thing here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you give a guy a 10-year deal, and I've seen Raider fans, well, not Raider fans, but like fans around the league and all that talking about, how long is Gruden going to last? Maybe he's out after this year, next year, whatnot. Gruden's there for at least 5 years. You're not going to give a guy
deal. Even more than that. Yeah. I think you sign him to a 10-year deal, you're thinking he's going to need more time to rebuild than most.
Like, I think Gruden, like, yes, he's now the coach of the Oakland Raiders, but that contract was more of a, all right, we want you to be the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. And yeah, you'll be here at least for the time being given. We got a couple more years.
But the question is, once they get to Vegas, will they be a team to look out for, or will they be a disappointing new team in a new city?
They got this year, and then I think next year. Yeah, they got this year and next year in Oakland.
Have they broke ground on the new stadium?
Yeah, they already broke ground. They're already building it.
How much money is it? Is it the most expensive stadium so far?
I'm not sure. I haven't checked the numbers. I know it'll be up there with LA too, because I know LA stadium
is like 1.5.
The
designs of the stadium look pretty nice. Yeah. Both Vegas and LA.
And I know LA will have the new NFL headquarters there also.
In that same stadium?
In the region. Area. Well, not like right by the stadium, I believe.
Right by the stadium?
Yeah, pretty much like side by side or whatnot. Like, I know they got like a whole big thing planned for that stadium and all. And I guess that's a little bit fun.
Well, from the size of it, mm-hmm. you got to do more than just football.
Yeah.
I think the LA Rams are going to make a lot of money in that stadium. Plus, the Chargers are going to rent out that place so they can play games in there.
The Chargers are just the forgotten team of the LA, of the teams of the LA.
They just moved to LA at the wrong time. They should have stayed in San Diego. I don't know. I don't know what. Dean Spanos was. That's not a very smart move.
I think they should have just moved the Raiders to LA, if anything. I mean, I guess I get the Vegas move.
But Vegas was desperate for a team. Yeah. And they bent over backwards for the Raiders. And if you were the Raiders, you had to take that.
Man, the Raiders in LA are going to be different. But yeah, as far as the Raiders go, disappointing.
Raiders in Las Vegas is just... Who thought of a football team in Vegas?
I never did, but as far as the Raiders going being disappointing this year, yeah, they have been. I mean, Derek Carr hasn't been necessarily great. I think Derek Carr gets an unfair shake. I think a lot of the... Like, I saw him throw an interception against Miami on Sunday, and I think it was more so Amari Cooper giving up on the route, because I think there was three guys around him, but he did get in behind those three guys. And Carr, where he put the ball, if Cooper keeps running, he does at least have an opportunity to catch it in stride, and if not that, then go up and get it. But him giving up, I mean, kind of just kills the playoff as it is. The Raiders defense has actually kind of impressed me. They're not as bad as they thought. I mean, obviously they have pass rush problems, but I don't know. I think Gruden kind of silently told us, yes, this team isn't going to be as great as you guys maybe expect.
Yeah, I think he was like, hold the expectations for the next few years. Uh-huh. And rightfully so.
What about you? You got any other disappointing teams? I know I got a couple more, but we'll let you go with your next.
That's a tough one because it's so early to tell. But I would say probably the most disappointing team right now is the Eagles. Defending champs haven't been playing that well.
Yeah, they're 2-1, though.
Well, just Carson Wentz did play well, and he's back, granted. But that one loss kind of showed a lot of holes in their team.
I don't think it was holes in the team. I think it was just Nick Foles.
You think it was Nick Foles holding them down?
I think Carson Wentz is one of those quarterbacks who just elevates the play around with the guys around him.
Mm.
Like, pretty much...
It's odd for coming from another guy from North Dakota State.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think North Dakota State's a powerhouse in the FCS.
They're Alabama of the...
And they can beat some D1 teams. I know they beat
Iowa.
Yeah, they beat Iowa, I think, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But
I would definitely put, like the Eagles on, like, a watch, like an on alert almost.
I mean, yeah,
like,
I'd say they weren't necessarily great Sunday against the Colts.
Well, I would definitely just put them in like a don't expect them to be first seed again type of thing. Seeing the Vikings play last week made some big questions about that team also.
Yeah. I
mean, losing 27-6 to a team that lost by 40 to Baltimore really shows a lot.
Yeah, and I think with them losing to the Bills, I mean, you look at it, I think it was just an instance of they just completely overlooked the Bills. And
do you think Josh Allen, it was just a beginner's luck type of thing?
I wouldn't say beginner's luck. Josh Allen, I think, is actually going to be a good quarterback. So you're going to see him have these games where, I think, honestly, I mean, I didn't like Josh Allen coming into the draft after watching him hit some throws in the preseason and all that.
He had some accuracy issues.
Yeah, and he still, I don't know, Josh Allen, I think, it's too early to tell with Josh Allen. I'm not going to make any decisions on him right now.
Yeah, but taking the Bills, who looked absolutely the worst team in the league, to beating one of the best teams in the league, really, or supposedly one of the best teams in the league, really showed how good he can be. And I guess if you have a good quarterback, your other teammates will rally around you and not retire at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, we were basically just talking about on Friday making our picks whether or not the Vikings would cover that 16.5 point spread. But, I mean, obviously
we were way off. Well, technically, they did just the opposite way.
Yeah. But you look at it, another team I think has been really disappointing so far to start the season is Dallas.
Oh, absolutely.
Dak Prescott, his first year, was great. I mean, it's about as good as a rookie year as you could have.
13-3 is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, and then his second year, I mean, he did take a step back. But, of course, I mean, rookie QBs and second-year players do seemingly tend to take a step back, given there's film on him and all that, and you can really game plan for the guy. I thought maybe this would be a year where he steps up a bit. Now you got Zeke full-time. He's not going to be suspended or anything like that, but the guy just hasn't looked good. The offensive line is terrible. The receivers are awful. Sean Lee's already hurt with a hamstring injury. I mean, the only solid, consistent player there is Zeke Elliott, who I think had over 100 yards against Seattle.
Do you think Jerry Jones being the GM and all that is holding them back?
I wouldn't say that.
Putting too much of him involved in the decisions because of his quote-unquote dynasty in the early 90s?
I think Jerry's biggest problem is he's kept Jason Garrett around too long, I'd say. I think as far as...
It's his puppet, though.
Yeah, and I do get that, but I'd say as far as Jerry's football decisions, I mean, I'd say Dak Prescott, I mean, his first year was solid.
Basically, Jerry Jones is the head coach. Let's get that out of the way. I think Garrett is just...
The mouthpiece.
Exactly.
I do get that. I think that's why Garrett has lasted so long. Like you said, he is the puppet. I mean, maybe a little bit harsh.
How many losing seasons does he have? Every one but one?
He's made the playoffs twice out of 10 years, and the rest are all
He's been there for 10 years?
Yeah, he's been there for a while.
I forgot it's been that long.
It might be eight years.
If 10 years feels like 2008, I don't think it was that long ago he was there. I could be totally wrong, but it just shows how long and overdue his firing is.
Yeah, and I mean... I'd say that year, first year that he had with Dak, where they went 13-3 and made the playoffs, bottom a few years. But, yeah, let me check his
They choked in the game against the Packers.
Yeah, that was...
And you can say that was Garrett's fault also in the wrong type of defense or so on and so forth.
So, yeah, I was wrong, actually. He's coming into his ninth year. He started out in 2010. 2010 is kind of a year where, like, you give him a mulligan, I guess. I mean, he only coached 8 games. They went 5-3 there. 2011, he coaches all 16.
But getting like 10 years after that is a little ridiculous.
He went 8-8 his first 3 true years as the coach. 2014, he went 12-4, won a playoff game and ended up losing in the next. 2015, they go 4-12. That's when Romo gets hurt, I believe. And then 2016 is Dak's first year where they lose to Green Bay in the playoffs. Last year, they went 9-7, and here we are in 2018.
Okay, so he obviously has struggled his entire coaching run, I would say.
Except for, yeah, 2 years.
Well, I would put asterisks on those still.
Why asterisks?
Because that team, they had so much talent around them, you could do the worst you could possibly do and still get like 10-6.
Yeah.
Like that, those teams had just talent from top to bottom.
Again, though, you do need a coach to rein it in, though.
Yeah, but with a proper head coach, they could have easily...
gone farther.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think, like we talked about, Jerry Jones is running this team from head coach to GM, and I think Garrett's just there as a mouthpiece or just a puppet.
Yeah.
So that's why he's there. If he doesn't get fired within the next season or two, there's something up.
I mean, unless
he finds another mouthpiece, or Jerry Jones just says, screw it, I'll just be the head coach.
I don't think that'll ever happen, but I mean, if Jason Garrett somehow ends up finding his way, because I think if it was me and they missed on the playoffs this year, I'd get rid of Garrett, but I think he's got himself another year, and if next year he doesn't make the playoffs, then...
You give him another year?
Huh?
You give him another year?
I wouldn't personally, but I think Jerry does.
Jerry Jones is one of the most impatient guys in ownership. He fired the only coach they ever had in Tom Landry, for crying out loud.
But that was, I think, Jerry just putting his imprint, this is my team now, and we're starting off from scratch.
I think he
bought them and then got rid of Landry. It's not like he was there while Landry was there.
True. It's like an Art Modell kind of thing, where it's like, who do you think you are? Getting rid of a guy who's the face of our team.
Yeah, and then I guess as far as other disappointing teams, I mean, it's been Pittsburgh and New England. But New England, they're always disappointing in September, so I'm not sure really how much.
I'm not putting them out of the line yet. Yeah. We'll see.
They have been disappointing, but it's just...
I'll tell you after week 8.
Yeah. Well, even, I don't know, I feel like this game against Miami this week, week 4, will kind of tell more of a story given... If they lose this one, then I think it is time to start worrying about the Patriots. Because then you're 3 games out of first in the AFC East.
True. But if any team can bounce back, it's the Patriots.
Yeah.
But again, you're right. We were talking about this a podcast or two ago about how this dynasty may be coming to an end. And this reign of terror might be over sooner than anyone thinks it is.
Yeah, I mean, there eventually is going to be a decline with the Patriots. It's just a matter of, I guess, picking and choosing when it's going to be or guessing.
It happens with every team, and it just took a long time for this to happen.
Yeah.
And it's truly incredible how long of a span they've been dominant in. I'm just saying that every run ends.
Yeah.
There's never a continuation of a dynasty forever.
This could be it. I mean, I don't think we're
Sports is a cruel mistress. It can turn you on any other drop of a hat.
Yeah, and I don't think we're thinking that they'll miss the playoffs this year or anything like that. It'll be a gradual
decline. I just don't. Do you see another Super Bowl appearance with Brady or no?
With this team they currently have, it won't be.
No, I meant for his career.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe. Not. It definitely won't be this year, but maybe the year after that. I'm not sure how long Brady lasts, though.
I mean, I'm guessing 43.
If I say 3 years, give him 3 more years.
I'm giving him 2.
If it's, are you counting this year and then next year and then he's done?
I'm counting age of 43.
Age of 43, I think he's 41 right now. So I guess that's like 3 more seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I think I'd say
it's hard to tell.
I'd say definitely not this year.
I think he's starting to get fed up though. You can see his frustration,
body language and all that.
Yeah, and he obviously doesn't. He has his rings. He has the money. He really doesn't need to play anymore. He doesn't have anything else to prove.
Yeah, I mean, his wife she's like the highest paid supermodel in the world. So I mean, he really doesn't need to.
That family. Anymore. That's probably the highest power. That the biggest power family in the world right now. It feels like.
Yeah.
Like, when you think of power couples, these two are just, it's not fair.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how much he's got left. I'd say 3
years. Did she take the last name Brady or no?
I have no clue, but I mean, I'd say Brady has maybe 3 more years at the most. I'd say maybe he retires after next year, and then Belichick will follow suit. Like
those Rob kids are going to be gorgeous, though.
Yeah.
Gorgeous and talented. It's not fair. Can you imagine dating one of those kids? Like I don't know if they're daughters or sons, but just... having to meet the parents of the Bradys.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. But like I said, I mean, as far as Patriots go, they only got a few more years left in that little dynasty.
But it was a nice run while it lasted. It's still going to be remembered forever. 18 years of dominance. I don't know. How many times did they get the one seed in the last 18 years? I would say 15 times. That might be close.
So we'll see what ends up happening with them.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be remembered as the... I might put it up as the greatest dynasty of all time.
I'd say so. I mean, for how long they've been solid.
Just the length of dominance that there's been. No other team has done that.
Yeah.
Consistently Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, definitely. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's all I got as far as my disappointing teams.
As do I. Any teams that have surprised you before we go to the next segment?
Miami, the Chiefs.
Miami and the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Do you see them, like, AFC Championship? Or do you see...
Chiefs? No, not with either. I mean, the Chiefs have no defense that whole run. They're not going to be putting up 40 a game like they have been. Miami, I think they could make the playoffs, but I don't say they make a run in the playoffs. But again, it is early to tell. We got to wait and see exactly what happens with both of these teams.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill has not proven to me he can be a quarterback to lead a team to playoffs or win the playoffs. I don't think he's even gotten the opportunity. He might have. I'm not.
Well, I mean, 2016, they made the playoffs, but he blew out his knee like week 13. Yeah. Or 15,
so he hasn't really played. He hasn't gotten a chance to play in the playoffs yet.
Yeah.
But I would say that it would be a nice story to see Miami in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they've been bad for so long. It's post Dan Marino, so I mean, we got to wait and see.
If Tannehill. When was the last? So 2016, before then, was what, like 2002?
2008, when Brady tore his ACL.
Oh, well, when they went 11-5,
mm-hmm.
And and even without Brady, the Patriots still went 11-5, and tiebreaker, they didn't make it.
Yeah, I mean that's
when, that's the only time in that 18-year span they didn't make the playoffs, and they still went 11-5.
Yeah,
like so they've had double digit wins for every single season for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be some sort of record.
It might be. I mean, I don't know. Steelers and the Cowboys for the most part over there. Career span, franchise spans, and all have always been solid, but.
But definitely, it's hard to deny the dominance of this dynasty.
Yeah,
definitely. It's a dynasty. Let's get that straight.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But it's like what's above a dynasty? I feel like this is more than a dynasty. It's like,
I don't know if there's anything above it. I mean, it's just one of the best ever, and just no one's really been used to it because we've never seen anything like this.
It's basically, yeah, it feels like it's, I can't think of anything else that's above a dynasty. It just feels like it's been going on for so long. It's like this era of football is the Patriots era.
Yeah.
You can easily make that assumption that uh-huh. from 2000 to now, it's the Patriots era.
Yeah, definitely.
There have been other Super Bowl teams, but I don't think any other team has made it back-to-back Super Bowls, and that's in this last 18 years besides them.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The Seahawks actually went back-to-back.
They didn't win back-to-back.
Oh, yeah, you didn't win back-to-back. You're right.
Patriots only done it once, granted, but mm-hmm. Patriots have been to multiple back-to-back Super Bowls and such.
Yeah.
But it's been all Patriots the last 18 years. But it's not like they are the only good teams in the NFL. There have been other great teams in the last 18 years. It's just they haven't taken over. Brady is the face of the NFL for 18 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's been dominating.
Would you say him or Manning was the face of the NFL?
I mean, they've both been, I guess, the top guys. I mean, I guess Brady since he's been winning more, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if Manning was in the NFC, you probably see them in the Super Bowl a couple of times.
Yeah, that would have been nice, definitely.
Those are the what-if questions that could have maybe changed the NFL for even better.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to end this segment right here when we come back and talk about the front runners for MVP so far in this season. And we'll get on that when we come back.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
And welcome back once again to the GSMC Football Podcast. We've talked about the Monday Night Football matchup. We've talked about disappointing teams so far in this season. And now we're going to talk about early front runners for MVP. So any players come to your mind when you think MVP so far?
I guess Patrick Mahomes is the early front runner. I mean, he's got, 13 touchdowns in his first three games?
Which is an NFL record.
Yeah, he's been solid. And you look at it. I mean, again, it is, I guess, way too early, but the dude has been solid. And I think, will he be able to sustain this? I think so. Just given he's got Andy Reid, and Andy Reid is basically the quarterback whisperer. He knows what, I guess, is going to make a decent quarterback and how to make a decent quarterback. So I think this is going to be something he can sustain.
Has Andy Reid ever coached an MVP quarterback?
I don't believe so. I don't think McNabb ever.
I don't think McNabb ever won one either. So that'd be a first. But again, Reed has been known for very bad finishes in the playoffs, and he's known as a choke artist, which is kind of unfair, seeing how good he's made teams in the past. But I would say that with the Chiefs and knowing Andy Reid, there's going to be a lull in this season, and Mahomes is going to struggle. That's my prediction, at least.
Well, I mean, because we saw them last year go, what, 5-1 and then hit that terrible stretch.
I think it was
6-0. Yeah, they did something where they started off hot and then hit that little
They barely
stretch.
Won the West after that.
Yeah. Just,
when, you mean, go, when you have one or zero losses after 6 weeks and barely win your division after that, that's a huge drop.
I guess you're just lucky that you play with the Chargers.
They went 9-7, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah, they're just lucky that they play in a division with the Chargers where you get that little Chargers curse where they just don't play well in games that matter, I guess.
Yeah, this might even be Andy Reid's last chance before he might get fired.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't?
I mean, he's got a new quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think you get rid of the guy after a season. Just given, I mean, you're going from a guy who's never played a down in the NFL. I mean, you can't really expect too much. I mean, I think... At least I was expecting a bit of a down year compared to
I just hope
to
it doesn't
Smith.
Get to his head.
Get what? Get to Andy Reid's head?
No. Or Mahomes. Hope he doesn't get
seem
too
like that.
Cocky.
He doesn't seem like that guy,
but you can still feel overconfident and think, we got this, I can score touchdowns. Because you can do it 3 times, you can do it 13 times in 3 games, but what about that one game where he's going to have, it's almost inevitable he's going to have that game where he's going to struggle. Because every rookie has that, and I think... What's going to put him aside from the others is how he's going to bounce back from that or react to that.
And I guess we'll get to that point when we get there. But I'd say as of right now, I mean, the guy seems well-grounded. He's been spreading the ball out. Credits his teammates a lot, so.
I see Wentz as a possible MVP for this season, too, with this return. He looked really good, and he didn't do much. He wasn't like a barn burner or anything. But I can definitely see him as a runner for MVP once again.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, if he doesn't tear his ACL last year, then he does. And I mean, I guess his only the thing against him right now is the fact that he missed weeks 1 and 2. So he'd have to be extremely great, I'd say, in order to get an MVP.
That's only
this year.
The first 2 weeks. I don't think that's going to be a huge factor.
But he did miss the last 2 weeks of the last season, too. And I mean,
I think that was just to play it safe, which is smart. Not to put too much on him.
Well, I'm
so
saying
early.
When he tore his ACL, he missed the last couple weeks of the season and didn't end up winning it that way. But, I mean, as far as it goes,
I think it's the ending is more important than the beginning.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So if he got hurt in the first 2 weeks and was sitting the first 2 weeks and then came back, it'd be a different story. Uh-huh. We'll find out for this season. But do you see any other non-quarterback players MVP possibly?
I guess... At this point, I don't know. Maybe Todd Gurley, but other than that,
That's who I was thinking also.
Yeah, Todd Gurley was kind of in the conversation last year. I mean, wasn't really, I'd say, a serious contender, but at least was in that conversation. He's the biggest part of that Rams offense. I mean, without him, I don't think Jared Goff is as good as he is.
Plus, I think a lot of people, including myself, would agree with you.
Yeah, I just think, like I said, catching the ball at the backfield, running the ball and all that. He does everything for that team.
Without him, I don't think the Rams are that dominant of a team, offensively-wise. Defense, they might be still great, obviously still great, but without him on that offensive side, I think they lose more games because of that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, Todd Gurley is one of those guys who, you put him on your team, he will add wins to the schedule.
Yeah. Any defensive MVPs you're looking at? Khalil Mack, probably number one in my mind.
Yeah,
what about yours?
Because like I said, defensive players don't really get that kind of shine, but if I had to pick one, it'd be Khalil Mack. I mean, the dude's been dominant since he's gotten to the Bears. And
he made that defense look elite.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got
not
guys
a lot of
as...
players. Not a lot of one players can make a whole defense look that good.
Yeah, when you got a guy like Khalil Mack, I mean, it's not just getting to the quarterback. It's the fact that he's getting into the backfield.
He's feared.
Yeah, you're getting.
They're
into
looking
the backfield
at him,
quick.
And that gives other players a chance to be better.
Uh-huh. And he's getting into the backfield quick, so I mean, that's got to force the quarterback.
Probably
to
the fastest linebacker in the league.
Yeah,
yeah.
Consider him a linebacker or a defensive end.
I would say him as an outside linebacker that just rushes the ball
just
carrier
3-4
more.
3-4 type of defense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 But I could totally see. Well, he plays both. Remember, he was all pro in 2 different positions, defensive end and outside linebacker.
Uh-huh.
So, but I think he is more dominant as an outside linebacker because he can fake that. He's done this where he fakes that sack, goes back into a coverage, and since he's going back to the coverage, the line for like doesn't really pay attention to anyone else because they're thinking he's going for a blitz, and other players can make a contribution.
Yeah, and I mean, when you got him getting into the backfield so quick, it's going to force the quarterback to get the ball out. That's going to make your corners better, just considering
he brings fear into linemen, and that's not easy to do. So I think he's definitely, like, if their defensive player of the year is definitely Khalil Mack so far.
Yeah, definitely, I'd say that. I mean, I can't really think off the top of my head anyone else who's been as dominant as he has on the defensive side of the ball.
And impactful, just overall team-wise, helping the team.
I know Xavier Howard, the cornerback out of Miami. I think he's got 3 picks, I think, so far to start the season. He's got 7 out of his last 8 games.
But is he talked to? He's not really talked about.
Yeah, he's one of the more underrated cornerbacks, I'd say. This is going to be the year where I think he eventually, like, he introduces himself to the league and all that, where the league starts taking notice.
And with Minkah Fitzpatrick also on that defensive side, that Dolphins defense secondary looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, they've actually kind of surprised me. I mean, you got Bobby McCain, who's 5'8".
I think they got lucky getting Minkah Fitzpatrick, though. Because everyone thought Cleveland was taking Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he did. Well, I thought, too, that if it wasn't Cleveland, it'd be Tampa Bay or the Raiders.
I thought San Francisco was also in running for a defensive back. There was a lot saying, like, they would get Denzel Ward. Uh-huh. And then when he got picked by the Browns, I was like, okay, the Niners are probably going to get Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick did fall into Miami's lap. I really didn't think that he would fall.
I didn't expect him to drop either. He was touted as, what, the best safety in the draft?
Yeah, and it's not a matter of, like, he dropped because of characters. It was just teams traded up because they needed quarterbacks.
Like yeah, the Bills, absolutely. And I think Miami kind of got lucky getting a quality player that good that late in the draft.
Yeah, because he's been an instant starter already. And I mean, he's already played well. Safety, he kind of struggled in the last game against the Raiders, but as playing in the nickel as a corner.
I think you're going to have a struggle regardless of what position you are, one game or two at the start.
Yeah, then having him play in the nickel spot.
It's a new environment.
Yeah, having him play in the nickel spot at corner has been really solid in the slot, so he's been solid there.
And he was still touted to go the top 5 pick.
Yeah.
And you got him and the Miami Dolphins got him at 12, so you should be thankful to get a guy like that.
Yeah, and then you got Larry Betunson.
Well, I'm not saying the Cleveland Browns made the wrong decision either, because Denzel Ward has been playing relatively well also.
I'd say, yeah, they hit on those first 2 picks with Ward and Mayfield.
I was shocked when they picked Denzel Ward, because usually you don't pick a corner that early.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when they mock draft said the Niners, I thought that's where he was going to go. Like, usually mock draft's like, oh, yeah, sure, probably. But that one felt more of a slam dunk than most picks.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got a couple picks, and he's got a couple forced fumbles, too. There's just the play.
Yeah, he has definitely helped the Cleveland Browns improve their defense, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as far as it goes, yeah, Mahomes, I think, is the early front runner for MVP. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, there hasn't really been too many standout players, I think, to start the season. Everyone's just been kind of...
Why'd you put Fitzpatrick in that early MVP thinking?
I mean, I guess you
kind of... Like, the season ended now?
Yeah, I guess you kind of could, but like I said, I don't care for Ryan Fitzpatrick as far as thinking all that, because I think we all know how this ends.
Right.
But as far as for the sake of the argument...
Hey, we might be wrong, though. That'd be a nice thing to get wrong. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean...
It's not like we don't like him.
Yeah, it's we know
his track record. Exactly. We've seen him play.
Yeah, I've seen this movie.
He's not new.
I mean, with the Jets, he had a great season with Brandon Marshall. The next year, he was terrible.
He did ask for an unnecessary amount of money with the Jets after that season. Everyone was like, whoa, whoa, slow down there, buddy.
Yeah, I'll never hate on a player for betting on himself, though, basically.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Confidence is great. But you also have to think, maybe not put yourself at that risk and put yourself on a holdout for a team,
mm-hmm,
and get those other players that are on your team a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah. But we'll see what ends up happening with all these players. Again, like you said, it is, I mean, really, really, we're only 3 weeks into it. But
This might be a sign of things to come. This might be what we're going to see the rest of the season. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, because you got a lot of teams, like the Packers are 1-1-1, the Vikings are 1-1-1, the Steelers are 1-1-1. Patriots are 1-2. Like, a lot of these top teams are just at slow
starts.
There's
more ties than I thought there would be after 3 weeks, that's for sure.
Yeah, we nearly had one in that Saints and Falcons game, too.
I can honestly see, like, the Steelers and Browns tying again and go have 2 ties in the season.
Yeah, so...
Can you imagine? I don't think that's happened before since, like, the early 30s.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you, because, honestly, I wouldn't know what happened back then, but... I mean, if there was ever a team to do it, it would be the Browns.
There's been a tie, I think, every season in the last 3 or 4 seasons.
Did anyone tie last year? I don't think anyone tied last year.
I thought someone. Well, I know the 2 years before that, someone tied.
I know the Bengals have had a couple of ties.
I know when the Niners went to the Super Bowl, they were 11-3-1.
The 49ers were?
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. They were 11-4-1 when they went to the Super Bowl because they tied with the Rams. That was when Kaepernick first made a start. When Alex Smith got hurt against the Rams, that was a tie game that ended.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was. Kaepernick just, I don't know, just ended in a tie, and people didn't really think anything of it. Then he had that Monday night game against the Steelers, and Kaepernick started, and that Super Bowl run. So a tie doesn't mean you're going to have a bad season. It could mean great things.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just one game, so you can't really...
Yeah, but once you get a tie, you think, like, really? That's are they going to continue this kind of lull throughout the season? Because a tie is not a victory by any means.
Definitely not. I mean, for a team like Cleveland, maybe you
especially
be
when it's a 15-minute
it.
Period and you can't score.
Yeah.
And there's, in those two games, those field goals were chip shots that they missed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Cleveland basically gave that first one.
Last year Seattle and Arizona, I think, tied, didn't they?
They might have. I think that was a couple years ago.
Was that the 2 years like when they both when the kickers missed 20-yard field goals?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think that was a couple years ago, last year.
Where Al Michaels goes, "That's impossible."
Yeah, I don't know how they.
When you shock an announcer like the Al Michaels, who's probably one of the greatest announcers of all time, and he says that's impossible, and that guy's probably seen everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying something.
Yeah, definitely.
And then Chris Collinsworth goes, "Now here's a guy."
Yeah.
But I like Chris Collinsworth. I don't know.
He's like a robot, like Witten is.
I think he's getting better.
Collinsworth or Witten?
Huh?
Collinsworth or Jason Witten?
Collinsworth.
Oh yeah, Collinsworth has gotten better, but Jason Witten.
Witten's still getting used to the whole thing.
Yeah, he doesn't have that touch like Romo does.
No, Romo is probably a good announcer too. If we go on that, like he calls the plays before they even happen.
He's good. He gives good analysis.
He's
and all
a
that.
Smart player.
Uh-huh.
Give him credit. But what I'm saying is, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, the ties. Ties can be a really tough feeling, but they're not the end of the world.
Yeah, definitely not, because like I said, it's only one game.
Honestly, some losses might be better than some ties in situations when it comes to, okay, you need to work on this, this, and that.
Record-wise, I wouldn't say so.
Not record-wise, but I think just improving the team-wise.
Mm-hmm.
A loss would mean you should work on more things. A tie might put you in denial when you need to work on.
Yeah.
But we're going to take another short break here. For our last segment, we're going to talk about basically whatever we think about when it comes to football. And we'll be right back right after this.
The average SUV has two blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
And welcome back to the last stretch here of the GSMC football podcast for the day. I'm your host still, Jeff Malinoff. And we've talked about the Monday Night Football. We've talked about disappointing teams. We talked about possible MVPs. And now we're going to go back on Bell Watch, which I think is what we're going to call it for now. And the Jets are probably the biggest guys pushing for him, don't you think?
Yeah, Adam Schefter reported the other day, I think it was yesterday, that the... Or I think it was Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, excuse me. I get them all mixed up, just given they're always reporting
the same
news.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, they're always reporting the same news, just one's a minute before the other. But either way, a guy reported that the Jets have already called these Steelers about trading for Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I'd assume if the Jets get Bell, they're able to give him a long-term deal. Bell gets to play in New York. You got a young quarterback there, so you can afford the contract. And I think if you put Bell there, I mean, guys like Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, and then Jermaine Kearse, they're not the greatest wide receiver trio, but Bell will make them better, given the defense is going to have to focus more on Bell. And basically not leave those guys open, but not put a big emphasis on them. So I think Bell coming to the Jets would make Sam Darnold much better also.
Yeah, it will put a lot of pressure off him, that's for sure. I think that's the key there. But Isaiah Crowell's been playing well. Like, their running backs are not bad.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're not Le'Veon Bell by any means.
Well, no one's Le'Veon Bell. He's probably number one.
But or, I'm
if,
saying...
if not Todd Gurley.
If you have a chance to get a Le'Veon Bell and you got the money to do so, I'd say no matter who your running backs are, unless it's some other top 10 guy, then you go and do that. I mean, they're always going to try and upgrade a position no matter what.
Yeah. Who do you think has the worst running backs in the league that could really benefit from
the Colts? I mean, he, sorry, I cut you off, but I mean, even before that, it's the Colts, the Colts, the Colts. They got the worst running back, they got the worst running back corp in the league, I'd say.
I don't even know.
You got Marlon Mack there. I know they got Hines and Wilkins there, and they're not necessarily.
They're third stringers.
Usually. Yeah, third stringers on any other team, I'd say.
Yeah.
And I think that's who should really go after Le'Veon Bell is the Colts. I think you add Le'Veon Bell to that team, you got yourself a nice little 1-2-3 trio with Luck, Bell, and T.Y. Hilton.
Do you think T.Y. Hilton's overrated?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, when Luck wasn't hurt, him and Hilton were, I mean, probably one of the best wide receiver quarterback combos in the league. And then the last couple of years, I mean, Luck has been in and out as far as injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got Jacoby Brissett throwing you the ball, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, I think, is a very good backup. Brissett. I think Jacoby Brissett could start for a couple of teams. It'd have to be kind of where a team's already set up and you just need a quarterback to come manage
the game.
Where
would you start him right now?
Huh?
Where would you start him right now?
Jacoby Brissett?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, if I could say he'd be an upgrade anywhere, looking at it, we'll go division by division. I wouldn't put him with... I'd say Arizona, he'd be an upgrade.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I think they have a good enough team to where they can win some ball games there.
I would even put him in Denver. Or
Denver, he'd be solid. The Giants, yeah, I mean,
Eli Manning's done. I think it's just people haven't realized
Hall of Fame career, but yeah, he is done at this point.
I think, I still think they should have took maybe a quarterback in the first or second round.
The 49ers with Garoppolo being out, I mean, maybe you send
That could be a possibility also, but would he fit that Kyle Shanahan offense?
I think he would. I mean, he did well in Belichick's system, and he's... Last year, I mean, Jacoby Brissett...
Those two are very different, though.
Yeah, and I feel like Jacoby Brissett, like, last year with the Colts, they went 4-12, but it's like Jacoby Brissett's not going to make the guys around him much better or anything like that. Plus, he's never really much to work with.
But I mean, the Niners need someone that can, like... They if they want their playoff hopes to stay alive, they need someone that can...
I think Jacoby Brissett's a decent pocket passer. Like, he's not great by any means, but he's serviceable.
Would you put him or C.J. Beathard as your starter?
Brissett. I'm really high on Brissett. I really like him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll see how C.J. does. The Niners have said this is their guy.
I think it's...
I'm still skeptical myself about it.
I mean, I think it's smart just given Garoppolo's the guy of the future. Just...
Possibly.
You take
Who knows now?
It's a
big question mark now.
Yeah, you just pretty much... I'm not saying take the year off, but do what you can with Beathard, and chances are you'll have a decent pick, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe they're secretly trying to get a top five pick.
Yeah. I mean, are the 49ers, like, without Garoppolo, do they really impress you or anything like that? I mean, plus you got the NFC being as good as it is.
Their running game is still strong.
Yeah, Brady's been doing well.
Alfred Morris has been playing well, too. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget him.
Yeah.
The front seven defensively have been solid. There's not been a lot of, like, breakout runs off of them. There were some rushing touchdowns against them against Kansas City, sure, but those were like 1 yard.
Yeah, those were all on the goal line I saw with Kareem Hunt.
And only 1 yard, and they got there by passing.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't like the running game. They can hold down the running game if they get a positive, a better pass rusher for an inside linebacker. With Reuben Foster and Malcolm, and that rookie from Penn State on the sides, and getting a big beast in the middle.
Uh-huh.
You could see a huge improvement with that team.
Yeah.
But, again, I think if they are going for a playoff spot, they're not going with Beathard, but since I don't think they're going for a playoff spot anymore.
Yeah, definitely not. So I think it's just... Yeah.
Well, they've already committed to Beathard, so I think that's their sign of we're not making the playoffs.
And Beathard's not a terrible quarterback. He's going to make a good career.
He's not a playoff leading quarterback.
He'll stick around in his career. He'll be like kind of like a Josh McCown. He'll be a backup for his entire career, I'd say.
Absolutely. He will never be the number one.
Yeah.
All due respect to him. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
And if you go with him the rest of the season, I don't think you're thinking of playoffs.
Yeah, definitely not.
You're thinking of...
Well, I mean, you're going to do whatever you can to win your game.
Absolutely, but,
you gotta, but be...
you're not expecting miracles.
Yeah.
You're not expecting a 11-5 or a 12-4 season type of thing. And also, you're probably thinking of upgrading that offseason, whether it comes to free agency or the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And quarterback will be one of your spots you're wanting to upgrade.
Yeah, so we'll see.
But with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back, would you consider that an upgrade after an ACL injury, or would you look for a quarterback still?
As far as the 49ers?
Yeah.
No, I'm not looking for a quarterback. I mean, you got too much money tied into Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Bethard is a decent backup quarterback. You got to look to
fix the secondary. Do you keep your eyes open for backups in the NFL, though, to trade? Like for like a conditional fifth-round pick?
I think you always look for backups, I guess. But the 49ers need to fix that secondary first and foremost. Richard Sherman isn't the answer there. That guy is...
I think they should maybe ask around the league to see who's willing to give up their backup just to see what they can get. If they can just waste a sixth or fifth round pick for a backup quarterback, then I think they'll be all for it.
Yeah, but
that'll only benefit them unless they grab like Sam Bradford.
I don't think like you're talking about like to start with Garoppolo out or just to be the backup for Garoppolo.
With Garoppolo out right now.
I mean, a fifth round pick is a pick where I mean you can find some of those diamond in the rough type of guys. Like you can still find a decent player in the fifth. I don't think you give that up. I think the 49ers are fine. Maybe you work out some guys to be the backup for Bethard, but I think you just move on.
I believe they signed their practice squad quarterback to be his backup.
Yeah, you just move this.
So they honestly saw no one available free agent-wise, and there is no one free agent-wise that could probably take that reins.
And no one you bring in is taking them to the playoffs.
Right. And it's an unfortunate thing for the 49ers, I would say, losing your quote-unquote franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be the best thing that happens to them.
Yeah, so we'll see what ends up happening. Yeah. But you got the Rams, too. They're dealing with some injuries. You got Aqib Talib.
Not that severe.
Huh?
Not that severe.
Not that severe, but missing Aqib Talib for a month is going to be a problem.
Aqib Talib's getting up there in age, though.
He's still playing well. Age is only a number if you're playing well.
But they still have... If it was like Donald, I would say that's a huge loss.
Well, even then, I mean, Marcus Peters didn't practice with a calf injury, too. So, I mean, you're missing your two starting corners and secondary.
But
I mean,
with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald... Those two themselves can boost that defense. They'll be fine.
I wouldn't say fine, just give it. You need someone to cover still, and if you don't have your two starting cornerbacks, how are you going to be able to do that?
All right, true that. But I would say that the 49ers' injury to their quarterback is more severe than their corners in the Rams' situation.
Well, I'm not comparing. I'm just saying. Mm.
I would just say I would rather have my corners injured for a little bit than my quarterback out for the season.
Yeah.
Regardless of who it is, whoever you make as your starter, you want as your starter, and losing him, Jimmy Garoppolo, who has a big upside, people still think he has a huge upside. I think they just think if he keeps starting, he improves.
Uh-huh.
He just needs the experience, and he'll be a great quarterback, which I agree with. I think he just needs more experience, and with this injury, it might motivate him to be better, to be a better quarterback and to be smarter.
Well, I mean, like, with the injury, I think it's a wasted year of development, just given you can't really develop your skills when you got your leg up and you're trying to rehab that for a year.
Do you see him having a good season next year coming back?
He'll be the same quarterback, I'd say. I mean...
Do you see improvement, like a good season, a stellar season?
I can't say a stellar season. I mean, even this year, he wasn't necessarily looking great or anything like
that. Do you think there'll be a lot of hype going into him?
It'll be like a comeback story type of thing, but I don't think people are going to have the same hype they had for him coming into this season.
Remember Adrian Peterson towards ACL, and he nearly broke Eric Dickerson's rushing record.
Adrian Peterson, though, that's a completely different position. Well, Adrian Peterson's a physical freak.
But he tore his ACL. That's part of the physicality, though.
Yeah, like I said, Garoppolo's nowhere near the same physical freak that Adrian Peterson is.
True.
Athletically-wise, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't really come close or compare.
And I guess... Running and passing, you don't need... Well, I guess you do need your leg for passing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Just plant your feet. So, but it is his leading foot that got injured. It was his left knee, uh-huh. So it's the one that's not... He's not planning that one to throw.
And there's the whole mental aspect of having that in the back of your mind, so he's got to get over that also.
So he's... It's not his power... It's not his better foot that you use for those deep passes and those sharp passes... It's the leading foot, so it's not that important of a knee injury. It's just you can't walk on it, you can't do anything much with it. But when he comes back, I don't think anything will change with his game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any quarterbacks right now that can take a team to the playoffs just by their talent alone?
Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say. I mean, well, we've seen Brady and those guys, but they're not worth mentioning anymore because we already
know. Do you see them winning the AFC South, or do you see the Jaguars still taking that?
I still say the Jaguars, but I mean, I'd say the Colts probably look like the second best. Titans, I guess, but as the second best team. I don't know. It's kind of up for grabs at this point. Blake Bortles mm-hmm. is kind of waiting. Well, not even a wait and see. It's just you never
know. Do you see Andrew Luck as a possible like MVP candidate?
Maybe not this year, given he's still trying to, I'd say, find his footing.
He has a weak shoulder. Let's get that out of the way.
I wouldn't say, well, how
weak. You can't throw the ball deep.
Well, Hail Marys, but I mean, how weak is your shoulder if the team's having you throw 53 times, 40 times, and all that?
I think that's just a test amount, just a test if his shoulder can handle it.
Well, if he's been able to handle it, then.
Yeah, but still, it's a shoulder injury that's pretty severe, so it's something to really keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, you always keep an eye on, but like I said, if his shoulder
He went to, I think it was like, I forget, he went to another Germany. Country. Yeah, for like these untested, random tests for your shoulder injury. It was like something that wasn't even tested.
Yeah, I mean, if your team's not going to have you throw the ball 53, 40 times if your shoulder's still messed up, because that's just
right.
Not right.
Well, it's a we'll see standpoint. Well, the Colts, it's the Colts, so I can see them even trying to do that.
Yeah.
But I do see improvement in him. I do see that Angela can lead this team to a playoff spot, possibly. Very, I'm saying unlikely, but it's a possibility.
Uh-huh.
Any other things you want to talk about?
That's all I got for today.
All right, so I think we'll close it off for that today. We'll be back tomorrow, I believe, and then we'll talk more about that week in football. There'll probably be more news because with the NFL, there's news every single hour from the feels of it. And just like always, we'll see you then tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.